afternoon. You're with Planet FM and this is Musings. My name is Noel.
And I'm Mimi.
On Musings, we give you music to listen to and something to muse about. So what are we going to be musing about today?
Today we are asking the question, is there a purpose to human existence?
Glue, motor oil and fruit juice are completely different substances. The major chemical ingredient in each, being water, is exactly the same. Water is a universal phenomenon which takes many and varied forms in nature and is present even in many dry substances. We say water is life, but there is a much more significant principle required for life to exist, which has far greater implications, and that is mind. Like water, mind is also ubiquitous. Unlike water, however, its presence can be identified even in inanimate matter as atomic action and organisation. But today's consideration regards probably the most significant characteristic of mind present in living things, namely consciousness, with its associated attribute, intelligence. We tend to think of intelligence exhibited by plants as being different from that evident in animals, which is different again from that present in humans. As a quality and function of mind, however, the consciousness and intelligence found in plants is exactly the same as that which we find in a mouse or even a human. As challenging and even radical as this statement may seem, on closer analysis, its truth becomes plainly evident. It is a mistake to say that mind, and therefore intelligence, resides within brain as a kind of electrical effect or byproduct of brain function. It would be just as absurd, for instance, to claim a computer program as the intelligence within the computer is a product of its hardware. The brain is simply the hardware which facilitates higher-level mind functioning, but intelligence does not require a brain to be present in order to function in a life form. A plant, for instance, exhibits intelligence as response to various stimuli, but possesses no brain. The same is true of many lower life forms. A dog, which does have a brain, however, exhibits the capacity for higher intelligence, while humans manifest even higher forms of mind power, such as creativity and abstract thought, which makes us causative beings. But humans also have self-awareness, and so we know that we are. This means human consciousness operates at the highest level, on this planet at least. A conclusion we can draw from this analysis is that the quality of intelligence, and as such, the conscious awareness of it, which operates in each case differently, is limited only by the capability of each life form to manifest or give expression to it. But just like water, in each case, intelligence as a function and quality of mind is exactly the same. Does that mean, for instance, that a plant has a mind? This question seems absurd at first, until we understand the nature of mind itself. Being universal, mind is not a personal attribute. What we call the human mind, for instance, refers to our perception of mind's functioning within us and not its actual nature. Nor is it a physical phenomenon because it possesses no dimensional features and cannot be defined in physical terms. This observation points to a duality within nature. In other words, the world is not just concrete, measurable substance. There is an aspect which cannot be weighed and which is outside physical perception, and yet we can still know of its existence through our feelings. We cannot quantify feelings or emotions because they are a qualitative phenomenon. We know they exist because they cause us to act in specific ways, and no one would deny their power to move us. Feelings, emotions, are evidence of this invisible yet strange and uniquely tangible world within and around us. The greatest, most complex machine known to man is surely the human body. Not the least reason being that it can repair and rebuild itself almost indefinitely. The deeper we look into the nature of our body, the more we have to admit that design is plainly evident. Our body is an ecosystem where every part has a function related to every other part. This fact cannot simply be explained as a random effect of evolution. There is system and order here, and wherever we find system and order, we also find mind and intelligence. And there also do we find purpose. All these observations lead to the inevitable question, is human life just about survival, or is there some greater purpose to our existence? Given the complexity and sheer genius of our makeup, it seems absurd to conclude otherwise. We may ask, why are we impressed to seek direction, and what constitutes personal development? Not all our efforts are about survival. We study art, for instance, but why we do has nothing to do with just staying alive. We meet people and form friendships, but not all such actions are self-serving. We have a need to experience family in its many forms, not just because of self-interest. Indeed, self-interest is often the very destroyer of families. The same can be said of study and the accumulation of knowledge. It's not always tied to the business of advancing one's own interests or just getting ahead in an increasingly difficult world. So why do we always seem to want to know more? Why are we never satisfied? There must be a reason, and that reason must be pointing us in a certain direction. Intelligence compels us to greater understanding, and as we acquire that understanding, we become aware of the connectivity of all things. The idea of family takes on greater meaning as it extends out to include all life. A frog is part of a forest ecosystem, and it functions harmoniously within that system. But as a frog, it is only concerned with matters frog and nothing more. Same goes for a tree, the river, snail, and the jaguar. Each is part of something bigger, but none are aware of it. Each life form lives its own existence, which in most cases is even confined to a very small physical part of the total system itself. But from above, a human can observe and understand this system. Utilizing superior intelligence, we can analyze the various components and understand both their natures and their relationships. We know what role the river plays, where the tree fits in, and how important insect, jaguar, and frog are in the total scheme of things. The fact that the frog doesn't even know that we exist doesn't change the fact that we do. So the lack of awareness does not mean that something has no existence. Because we can see and understand means we can also alter, modify, and even destroy an ecosystem. The choices we make are determined by the source generating the impulse to act within us. Clearly, self-interest generates selfish choices. But what is the source of altruistic decisions? Actually, the human condition is a relative mirror image of the frogs. Humans live and function in an ecosystem we call the universe, while we barely understand its true nature, let alone our relationship to it. But we are part of something bigger. Greater or universal intelligence perceives and understands what this human-to-universe relationship is, just as we see and understand that of the frog. Over the millennia, humans have sensed the presence of higher intelligence and have felt the need to identify and personalize it. So they have used various names for it, and in so doing have tended to create a perception of separation between us and it by feeling the need to define and give form to that which they sensed but did not fully comprehend. Advanced thinkers, however, have often referred to this principle as that which can be known, but which cannot be named or defined. But here is the important thing. Because it is mind and intelligence, it is also consciousness. Not different mind from our own, and not different intelligence either, but the same mind, the same intelligence, although operating at various states of realization throughout the entirety of creation. Being the same means it is not separate, nor is it distant from us, but rather within and a part of who we are, as we are a part of it. Although we are likely only slightly aware of this fact. Because it is part of us, we can experience and manifest it. Its deepest or highest levels is the source of expansive, so-called enlightened and altruistic thought. Functioning through us, it gives us greater understanding. Those who seek deeper levels of understanding with their own minds become aware of this to the degree they are capable of comprehending it, and so they define the search in terms of an inner journey or awakening. Higher intelligence is in essence no different from our own, just different in quality, as the same electricity generates light in both the 1,000-watt bulb and the 60-watt bulb. We can tap into mind's deeper levels at any time through self and draw ideas and even solutions from it which produce tangible benefits we identify as being superior. In this way, we learn through intimacy to function in accord with it. So in time, we consciously become deeper thinkers. Attaining higher understanding, then, is simply a matter of degrees. The intelligence inherent within us reveals itself as the way towards its higher, more expansive forms and realizations. The path is central and within us. We can explain it as a stairway which ascends spiral-like to ever higher levels of perception and understanding. Armed with this information, we begin to see that the purpose of human existence can, if we so choose, transcend mere survival, and we can at the same time see how and why. By first asking the question, is there something greater? We are essentially shifting our awareness to pause long enough in the business of survival and bother to consider a bigger picture. But this process is and always will be entirely voluntary. We must choose a more expansive way of thinking, but we will only ever do so when the life we live today ceases to be seen as an end in itself, and we begin to realize that endings are also beginnings. We can ascend a stairway only by choosing to step upward and leave the past behind, and that can only be achieved by letting go, which suggests a topic for discussion on another day.
Thank you for listening. We hope that today's topic will help you to think about your own purpose. Let's catch up again next week.